Do you know this one? The police driven to tears.
Oh.
See, it's obvious to everybody, but I have done the...
Oh, I thought you were doing another one.
No, that's the same one.
From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. We have a guest drummer today. Do you
That's
want to
right.
introduce yourself, Fred?
Hi, I'm Fred Armisen.
and we have a guest listener, guitarist.
Thanks.
Yeah, friend. Hi.
Hello, I'm Carrie Brownstein.
Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
Robin, you want to play that clip?
Oh, Muddy Waters. I should get on Muddy Waters' album, right?
Yeah, just get a best of. Doesn't matter.
I feel guilty, though.
Hey guys.
Oh, what's up?
Hey. You guys should totally come to my DJ night. I'm spinning like all psychedelics sort of stuff, you know, the Zombies, the Kinks.
Wow, all right.
I didn't know you DJed.
I mean, I just started.
We have a dinner thing with my mom, but we'll try to make it right after.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we'll make it.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool.
Thanks.
All right,
guys.
See you soon.
DJ night.
I know. Right. Eleanor? Whatever.
Okay, I'm all done with your deposit. Is there anything else I can help you guys with?
Nope. That's it.
If you guys aren't doing anything tonight.
Is this my receipt?
I'm spinning tonight at 9 o'clock. I play rockabilly, hillbilly, and psychobilly.
You're playing
the
tonight?
Sign says,
spinning.
What is it, DJ
okay.
Direct Deposit?
Yeah, right. We'll check it out if we can.
Promise?
We'll try to make it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Please try.
They let you promote your thing here?
Yeah, I want to...
They don't really know.
All right, thanks.
All right, thanks, guys. See you tonight.
Oh. That looks good. Do you have any samples?
Oh,
my
great.
God, yum. That's amazing.
Excuse me. You guys want to come to my DJ night?
What?
A DJ night.
Fred, Gary.
Oh, God.
Doing a DJ thing.
Oh, no.
9 o'clock.
That guy's the worst.
It's a 9 o'clock. You get there early. It's free.
Well, if that guy's the worst, I hope you guys are the best. Bob Boylan here with Fred and Carrie from Portlandia. And welcome. You're going to play DJ today. Are you guys going to be the worst or the best?
I guess
or
so.
Or who's going to be better, Fred or Carrie?
I'll say Carrie.
I'll say Fred.
Okay, good. For those who don't know, Portlandia, it's a show. It's been on IFC, had a run last year, and now a new run this year. It's about Portland, and it's about quirky people. And you play basically all the characters in the show. And what else do you want to tell us about it?
We play most of the characters. We also play ourselves, or a version of ourselves.
Which sometimes is a fine line.
Yeah.
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 Like I wouldn't say it's exactly us.
Yeah, it's like a hyper version.
Mm-hmm. Or a lesser version.
Yeah, we're a little dumber, I think.
I think so, too. A little more naive. But, yeah, it's a show. There's a series of vignettes. I feel like it's kind of like little short films. There's usually one kind of through line, like a big storyline, and then in between that storyline are little disparate sketches about other things. Sometimes there's a thematic, overall thematic tone to it. I think more this season.
Yeah.
Sometimes you play musicians as characters, but you, Fred, a drummer, was it Trenchmouth was a band, but you were probably in others.
I was in a couple others, but mainly Trenchmouth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And Carrie, we know from Wild Flag, and we know from Sleater-Kinney. And you're going to play DJ. So
yeah.
Start me out. I want to think about, want you to think about music either you remember buying as a kid, like saving up your pennies, or maybe, you know, mom or dad gave you one. Who's going to take this one, Fred?
First, I remember my mom buying for me. We lived in Brazil. She used to buy me some Beatle records, but the first one that I sort of picked out, I was like, I have to have this, because he was in the Beatles, was Paul McCartney and Wings. The album was Band on the Run. Even though that came out in like 73, this was 76, I think, or something.
So
when I was a kid, I was in
Would you say you were preteen?
Grade, second grade. I still love this song so much. It's Paul playing everything, and it's a song called 1985.
I love the song too. Let's hit it, Robin.
Thank you.
Everybody want to do harmony right here? Mics are open. Ready? You don't want to do harmony with me?
Robin and I are going to sit back. Listen to the beauty.
I was playing the synth part. Fred, you were doing drums, right?
I did some drums on it.
And bass.
That is
and
a
some
great,
bass.
That is an awesome song.
I like
song.
A multitasking air musician.
Yeah. Prince does that too. But the drumming, Paul is such a great drummer. He's played on a bunch of his albums, and his feel is really good. And I think even though he's a lefty, he plays righty drums.
Is that right? I never noticed.
Yeah. But God, he's great. What a great song. That song still does it for me.
Yeah, me too. That's good to hear that. I haven't heard that in absolute years.
Yeah.
1985 from Band on the Run. And you were just a little lad.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But you know, when you're a kid, you don't know the difference between like solo Beatles or it's just a Beatle and you're just, you know.
And that stuff wasn't so far from Abbey Road or something, that particular song.
No, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of sound.
But it was also in Brazil where we had different versions of records, you know, like it was like they were sort of thinner, like not as like thick and like well made.
So they were cheaper to buy?
They were just like a different, like you could just, they just slapped
them. Made of paper?
Stickers.
No, practically. You're right, because from record collecting around the world, which I've done, there's this, it's almost like an ersatz cover. Like they were just like, we're going to send a version of the artwork.
Yes.
It's like third or fourth generation.
You're talking
generation.
About the absolute, you're talking about the cover art, not the actual disc.
No.
Also the vinyl is there. Yeah. I feel like.
And the label is different. It's like, you know, EMI Brazil or Latin America or whatever. And there'd be some just weird little stickers on it and stuff that you know were not part of the original.
Do you still own that particular?
I do not. Who knows where it went?
That's probably worth some money. You got a Brazilian copy of
that
album?
You should track that down if you got nothing to do tonight.
Maybe it's hiding somewhere.
You should find it.
Yeah.
What was yours, Carrie?
Well, I didn't pick... There was a lot of music that I listened to from my parents, but do we need to hear an Eagles song right now?
No, no. I was thinking about the thing that you went and wanted. The record that you let... No, we don't. Go to the store and bought with your own pennies, maybe saved up, or got as that birthday gift because she begged, or...
Right. Well, I would say when I first started buying my own records, it was in high school, and I was growing up in the suburbs of Seattle, and there was a pretty cool record store in the mall called Cellophane Square. And I would go in, and at the time, I would seek out music by scene. Like, I wanted to sort of be completist. Like, I knew there were sort of these bands from Minneapolis or these bands from D.C., and one of the bands, you know, in Georgia, everyone was really into R.E.M. There was the Athens G.A. scene, but I was particularly drawn to the B-52s. I mean, a lot of people find their way into that band because of the vocals, but I loved Ricky Wilson's guitar playing.
Yeah.
I just thought it was so trenchant. He just cut right to the point. He only had four strings on that guitar, and he just found a million little melodies inside. So I saved up, and I got Wild Planet, which was their second album, which I think I love maybe even more than their self-titled debut. And this is a song. I love Fred Schneider.
We'll have a fight about that one.
Really? Okay. Well, we'll debate that. I love Fred Schneider, but this is a song without him. And Cindy Wilson and Kate Pearson were great, great singers. This is Dirty Back Road.
Cause
Good choice.
Thanks.
I did miss Ricky Wilson. I don't remember. Did he do like what the first three or four
he
records?
He was there for a while.
He did four.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the last one? Would have been
Mesopotamia, which was the David Byrne.
David Byrne production.
Yeah. Bouncing Off the Satellites was the first one without him, and it was noticeable.
And I'll still fight you over that first or second record thing.
All right. I mean, to me, that's splitting hairs.
Song to song.
Look, even though it's a hit, Rock Lobster, really.
What do you mean,
really
even though?
Because sometimes people kind of discredit songs if they're a hit. But
yeah,
like,
we should never do that.
That song, it really. It kills.
Dances Mess Around. That you're right. That first album is. It might be unimpeachable.
Right, the show's kind of over now. I mean,
oh, because you won.
Yeah, because I won. It's not going to get any better. So you guys are out on tour. You're in D.C. today. you're in D.C. I haven't seen the show yet, but you're taking Portlandia, this TV show, on the road. And one of the cool things about the show is you run around with great guests, musicians, talented people. I'm imagining sort of the Ed Sullivan Show when I go tonight.
Wow.
Does that be too far?
Yes, you should aim a little bit lower, just a little.
No topo Gigio.
Yeah, don't you think, Fred? That's a high.
Yeah,
that's setting the bar high.
But variety, no?
But it is variety.
It is variety. We show videos and we talk, and then we do have guests come on, and it varies from city to city.
And play music.
We had Susanna Hoffs in Los Angeles.
So are you behind the drums?
No, I'm on bass.
Yeah.
We have a drummer.
You have a real
Michael
drummer?
Lerner.
So you can
we have
say.
A real drummer, yeah.
Yeah, the very first...
Michael Lerner from Telekinesis.
Yeah.
Yeah. And cool.
Rebecca Cole on keyboards.
Who I'm in Wild Flag with. We started out with Fred on drums for our first live show, and it works better for both Fred and I to be in the front of the stage for this. Mm-hmm. And he's a great bass player.
And I love playing the bass.
He does. He loves it.
Do you guys travel around much and have to pick music and stuff when you're driving? Do you fight about that stuff?
We don't fight, but we do. We've had some good discussions. There was a time in Los Angeles where we were just driving around, and then we just sort of like we're just talking about music, and then we just realized that we both loved the Misfits.
Huh.
Yeah, and we raced to Amoeba Records on Sunset.
raced as in ran?
Yeah, we ran. No, we drove faster.
At the moment, we're just like, how great were the Misfits?
Yeah.
Yes, and
pedal to the metal. It was a very impulsive night. Like, we went to Amoeba, we picked up a Misfits album, CD, put it in the car, and then we decided, let's go to Glenn Danzig's house.
Yeah.
We went to his house where you knew where he lived.
Yeah. And it's a totally spooky looking house, but like it's a dream house.
It's a nightmare house.
And you showed up at his door and you said,
none of that. You can't. There's a black gate.
No.
Yeah.
There's a metal gate. It looks
Misfits?
So cool.
It's so overgrown. And
yeah.
No, but like not a fancy gate with like a guard and like a, you know, talk box or something like It looks like something where...
You're describing sort of Addams Family-esque.
Even scarier. There's a sort of yellow light by the door,
mm-hmm.
which is even like, wow, yellow is scary in its own
way. And like old lace curtains in the windows.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And then, we listened to a bunch of Misfits.
Let's play some now. What do you want to hear?
All right.
I Turn Into a Martian?
Do you have that one? It's such an interesting band. It's like B-movie lyrics.
Yeah.
Kind of like punk rock Elvis impersonator.
And really early, like late 70s, like, and also New Jersey.
Yeah.
Which is even crazier that it's not like...
Also a guy named Glenn.
Yeah.
We'll get back to that in a minute.
Okay.
thank goodness. That was great.
That's the perfect length of a song.
Yes. Misfits there. And I don't even remember who chose it. I guess you both universally chose that one.
We kind of did, yeah.
Yeah.
We did.
That's perfect. What started you, this is late 70s, my guess, and just judging from your age with Paul McCartney and being in the 10, 11 range, that maybe sometime in the late 70s you might have started playing music.
I missed because I was actually too young to really experience punk when it happened. I kind of came, and also I was in you know, the United States, which I think
when did you jump from Brazil to New York, was it?
Yeah, I moved from there. I moved back to New York. We were only there a couple of years.
Oh, I see. Okay.
76, 77, and then around junior high school, around 7th grade. This is like 1981 or something, 1980. I started getting into New Wave, which to me was all the same. So the Sex Pistols and Blondie and Talking Heads and Devo and everyone, that was like all kind of like at the same time happened to me. And all my friends, anyway, there's a lot that happened. But I do remember in my high school, this is Long Island, everyone was all into like Led Zeppelin, which already was, you know,
yeah,
from
the
early.
So
they were like, Zeppelin,
yeah.
Zeppelin.
I still do that, don't I, Robin?
Yeah, and
he's nodding his head.
And I couldn't really connect with all, you know, like rock to me just seemed like a caricature of rock, and there was no way to really freak out your parents. But then I remember I saw on this TV show called Fridays, I saw Devo, and they did Girl You Want, and they had the red flower pot hats. And
pot heads.
It really spoke to me right away. That's the first time I remember thinking, like, I wanted to do that.
And so you asked your mom for a red flower pot?
At this time, I was kind of starting to have like an allowance and a newspaper route and stuff where I was able to kind of pick my own records out. So I got freedom of choice, and I loved Devo so much and still do. And even the way that they would change their aesthetic from album to album, I like the idea of that. And even today, I always like the idea of kind of like reinventing yourself. And
your entire show is that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you do on the show.
Yeah. So like,
any moment you're in a bookstore or the next moment.
I have a little Devo thing happening. But I remember.
It's like every skit is a new album cover.
Yeah. Or it's a single.
A single.
It's a new, yeah. And each season is a new album cover.
And the show's an EP.
Yes.
Wow.
This is great.
A deep analogy.
All right, let's play some Devo.
But I will say specifically, Girl You Want, really, like...
Can you do the drumming for Girl You Want either with your mouth or your hands right now?
One,
two, three. Hit it.
I think I had the right key.
Nice.
You were a little speedier.
I was.
You were.
But I think I had the right key.
Yeah. Here we go.
Look at you with your mouth watering. Look at you with your mind spinning.
It's so good to hear humor in music. It's so often lacking, and they're wonderful. Carrie just mentioned one of the songs that you were thinking about playing was Andrew and Drag by Magnetic Fields, and just a hilarious, perfect, wonderful song that we're not going to play only because we just had it on the show. But
yeah, it's nice.
It's hard to do, though, I think.
It's tricky.
I think it's harder in like the rock idiom. One thing I like about hip-hop is it's a really fluid mix of like levity and sincerity, you know. But Stephen Merritt from the Magnetic Fields has always been witty. He's one of the rarities.
And he does it probably more with words than the actual music. But Devo did it with both, I think. That guitar break that was coming up at the time, and maybe people wouldn't get that, but there was a parody to it of music that was that Led Zeppelin Dinosaur stuff that was coming up.
Yeah.
At least in my mind, that's how I saw it. And it was funny because of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Jerry Casale, I remember when him talking about what he wanted Devo to be was just kind of like deconstructing all of that. But I think the older that we get and that everyone gets, it all, the separation between Led Zeppelin and everything, everyone's closer than we think. So in high school, it was easy to kind of rebel against that and against the Doors. But then after a while, you're like, all these bands were all trying to do the same thing and in their own way had their own sense of humor. I think even Led Zeppelin
Yeah, I think one of the beauties of getting older, and there aren't many, but one of the beauties is you let go of that.
Yeah,
of
but
that
it's good
stuff,
to.
You know,
but you realize that people were just trying to have a band, yeah. and they were trying to sort of knock over what was before them. So that's you're just like, oh, it's all the same in a way that they were their own kind of punk band. And
you bet.
Yeah, so that was nothing against Led Zeppelin. I think when you're an adolescent, you just everything's a fight.
That's well put. So I'm here with Fred Armisen and Carrie Brownstein. We're talking about music. We're also talking about Portlandia, the show that they are doing. You guys have been friends for what, 10, 12 years?
Something in there.
Not quite, yeah, like 9 years.
Nine years.
Yeah. You can celebrate 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, we should. We should find out what the date was that we met each other and then...
What are we going to do?
Reenact it.
What was the date?
It was 2003, so it's next year. I think it was February.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, so...
And what happened?
Slater-Kinney was playing a show in New York. Fred was in his first or second year on SNL, and he invited us. We couldn't go to the actual show because we were playing our own show, so he invited us to an after party, and we went. And you were wearing a little button with my face on it.
Yeah. Because I knew Janet, but I just invited them. And I mean, I love Slater-Kinney so much. I mean, I was really... I flipped out about them.
That's so great.
And then it's nice to meet. You never know. Sometimes you meet people who you're a fan of, and it's not exactly what you thought it would be. And it was better than I thought it would be. I love them all.
That's fantastic. Well, this couldn't be any better, really. I mean, just
Carrie more than
creative.
The others.
they'll love to hear you say that. I'll make sure they listen to this show.
I'll make this part louder.
Yeah.
So speaking of dates in Portlandia on the show, there's a really fabulous scene, Carrie. You're telling Fred the story of this guy you met. It was all going so well, and then... He takes off his jacket because you're cold and wraps it around you. And there on his arm is
a tattoo of...
Not just anyone.
Of not just anyone, but of Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam.
Holding two tambourines. That was the best part of it. I just loved that moment. I think you said, I didn't know Eddie played tambourine. Two of them. So you basically say, it was a total deal breaker. I couldn't even look at this guy anymore. And Fred, you... Eddie Vedder, you know, what's wrong, right?
Yeah.
Eddie Vedder's, charming, talented, fantastic.
Fine. I'll go on a date with him then.
I can't believe you know the Rolling Stones. That's crazy.
I have to say, this is going pretty well. Like, the tattoo version of you is a little off, but you're smart and you're funny, and I already feel really, really close to you. Wait, what is that?
Oh, yeah, it's a tattoo.
Tell me it's not a bad one.
No, it's bad.
Like your mom's name or like a...
It's Ani DiFranco playing guitar with a nose ring.
That's all, folks.
Oh, man, tats all, folks.
How do you sit down and write? Do you just sit in the living room and make this stuff? Or back and forth on...
There's a few different... levels to it. You know, first we sort of just Carrie and I get together and just initially start hammering out a few things.
Mm-hmm. Actually, both sketches that we played on today's shows were ones that Fred and I came up with early on for season two. Fred flew out to Portland because we do have a small writing staff, but both these ideas came in just this really like fruitful writing spurt we did. Just sitting outside of a coffee shop in Portland. The tattoo is a deal breaker and everyone's turned into a DJ.
Yeah.
Just seemed so obvious to us.
At the cafe that we were doing this, right there was a DJ during the day.
Yeah, I went in to get something and I walked out and I was like, what's that music coming from? And it was right outside the bathroom at a coffee shop. A guy had set up two turntables. And then we started talking about how like almost every invite I was getting on Facebook were just friends that were not traditionally DJs, but had a DJ night. It was like the only thing I was getting invited to. Like, oh my God, they're everywhere. So.
And then from there, we have like a real writer's room and we have all the other writers come in. John Kreisel, the director, writes as well. And then we start putting it together a little bit in LA and then we move up to Portland.
In Portland, there's great music and it's not coincidence that you both love this town. Why don't we play some music from Portland?
Okay. Well, Portland certainly has a really diverse music scene at this point. And there's a lot of bands that everyone knows from Portland. The Shins, Modest Mouse, Decemberists. But they're every once in a while.
Whoever you left out is already typing.
I know. Right? I'm so sorry. And also there's a huge audience right now that's like, you named three bands. You didn't name all 300.
That's right.
I'm sorry. I cannot. But another band, aside from those paltry three I just mentioned, this band called Red Fang, and I love them, and they, every couple years, I feel like the Pacific Northwest returns to this sound, which is just like something that's just carved right out of a tree trunk. It's just super raw, a little dark. It's heavy. You know, it's like right back to the Soundgarden days. And this band, Red Fang, is doing super well in general, but there's a huge like audience for metal, not just in America, but all over Europe. And this is a pretty heavy rock band from Portland.
What's the song?
The song is called Wires.
Great. Carrie just threw down the gauntlet. Well, how are you going to type top that one?
The way that I like to fight back is light as a feather.
The tickling. That's tickling. The worst kind of fighting. That's the meanest.
Hence why I'm doing it.
Tickle.
The fact that you think that it's the worst kind, that is my weapon of choice.
Do you know one thing that makes me know that I'm not like a sensitive person and I'm a little averse to just whatever?
Yeah.
Intimacy is tickle touch.
What is that?
You know when people are just like, they think they're being like super sweet and they're just touching you like on your arm light as
no,
possible?
No, thank you.
She's like,
no,
this is the worst feeling in the world.
Because it's like a game. I'm like...
Yeah, and then you're supposed to do that back. And
yeah.
It's just like, as you're trying to make it as light as possible.
Yeah.
What you're about to do is that, the aural version of a tickle touch.
So what's the tickle touch ban from Portland?
No, this is, I disagree. Although I'll fight back with lightness, this song is actually heavy in its own way. It's just not as... It's not as metal.
It's like diet whipped cream.
Oh, it's pitch black. This is
black
dark,
whipped cream.
This is like coffee grounds, but it's just it doesn't have the same impact as Red Fang. Okay. But it's a song I really really love. I continue to love it. It's by a band called Holy Sons, and they're from Portland. It's not a sweet song.
Carrie's starting to squirm.
The video has like
maybe
the video is all like sort of derelicts in motels. It's such a good song, and it's called The Chapter Must Be Closed.
See your old clothes on some junkie's back. Watch your furniture get up and disappear. Have pity on those who gotta suffer from their own hands, and watch what they have get up and disappear. A chapter must be closed. A chapter must be closed. It can't go on and on and on and on and on and on. You gotta shut it down to start it up again. You can't go on and on and on and on and on and on. A phoenix from the fire and fly away. Or hold hands with the whole wide world on and in the sunny day. Why can't people accept it may just be the way it always was? It's so wrapped up in fantasy. A chapter must be closed. A chapter must be closed. It can't go on and on and on and on and on and on. You gotta shut it down to start it up again.
Would you do an ID for us, Fred?
You're listening to NPR.
Yes, that's about the right mood.
That was Holy Sons. It's 2 a.m. I know you're driving out there, driving around the city. Hope you enjoyed that one. Give us a call.
Carrie, you want to wake us up with something? Let's do something contemporary. Maybe not Portland. Just
Okay. An album I've really been enjoying that just came out, I think a week or two ago, is the Islands album. Which is Nick Thorburn. He was in Unicorns. He's in a band called Mr. Heavenly. But Islands is kind of his chameleon-like self. Sort of every Islands record is different. But this song is called this is not a song.
Which song?
Yeah, what song? This song.
Oh, wow.
If Penny roams away, I will have lost everything. In many subtle ways, I already don't have anything. I hate to watch you go, whoa, whoa. Nick, if you ever learn, it never shows. This is not a song.
Setup for
I was feeling warm. There are people who would just drive off the road at 2:30 in the morning if you played that.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
Island song.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah.
I think he says his own name in the song, which is an interesting lyrical strategy. He says, "Nick, if you've ever learned, it never shows."
Wow.
And his name's Nick. I'm pretty sure. I haven't looked up the lyrics, but. It's kind of weird to... I always think it's a little bit odd to refer to yourself in third person anyway.
I like it when bands do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's a sadness. It makes the song even sadder.
Yeah.
What are you thinking when you said that? You like when bands do it?
Oh, Ramones have done it. Just to see the Ramones. I just like... Oh. It's just something sweet about it.
Mm-hmm. It's self-mythologizing, which I think is always can be kind of exciting. It elevates the moment a little bit.
Why don't you play some music from your iPhone?
No, it's a separate device. Phone is communication, iPod is music.
Fred has a little OCD, by the way.
Do you eat all of your peas and then move on to the potatoes?
Yes.
Compartmentalizer, a classic.
The way I treat food is it's not a meal for enjoyment, it's sustenance. It's the proteins and the sides and just get through it.
What would happen if the proteins accidentally touched or starch got on it?
You know what the problem is? It slows everything down. I do like mixes of things. If there's like a Cuban dish, which is like black beans and rice and chicken together.
You don't take out all the rice and...
No, that's something... But it needs to be... I like it presented to me that way.
But also you like an omelet.
Yes, omelet, everything mixed
oh,
in.
Oh, so you like if something is purposely mixed yes. or blended, then that's fine. Oh.
I'll go for that. Like okay. a pad thai. Is
so
like
you're great. Not you're not ill. I mean, this is treatable.
No,
it's treatable with an omelet.
I always opt for an omelet.
Every morning for the last
and
seven.
Dinner. I'll have some dinners that are omelets.
The last 46 years you've had an omelet.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, it's true. I've seen you eat a lot of omelets.
I love omelets.
Next time he has an omelet, just send me a note.
Yeah, I'll send you a picture of it.
Okay.
Omelets are all good news.
But see, you know what?
All good news.
Here, I'm just going to point out something that's a little bit odd. Okay, I just said I'll send you a picture of it using my phone. And then I thought, you don't separate that. You don't say, well, I have a camera.
No.
So,
but just music is, I don't like partial albums. I don't like one or two songs. I like everything.
Can I look at your?
I didn't bring it with me.
Oh, my God.
And when Bob said, can I look at your, he was going to say iPod.
iPod, yeah. Yes. Thank you. Because the other one elicited I love you.
Yes.
Yeah, I just, because I like whole albums on it. And yeah. So then right. I have an iPod classic. I don't do like.
So you have the 120.
Yeah, I have everything's, gigabyte. Everything is on there.
All right. So why don't we do this? Since you don't have your pod with you, we've done a lot of good music. Why don't you two just pick something we can go out on
okay.
that you would agree on?
All right. So recently, in the last couple of months, Fred and I were sitting in my living room listening to records, which is something we do enjoy doing together. And we were
You're talking about the big round things.
The big round things. An actual LP.
Yeah.
And we were listening to Ike and Tina Turner and their album Come Together, which is a great album. And we were trying to guess when it came out.
Yeah.
I think you were right. We were like, this is 72 or 73. And this is a great album. It's actually not too easy to find. And I don't even think that iTunes has a version of it.
And this was they did cover songs, and one of them was the Beatles' Come Together?
Yes, but many of the songs, which was very common.
Doesn't sound really good,
honestly. No, but we're not going to play the song Come Together. Good. We're not okay. playing the song right. Come Together, but it's from
we
the album.
We could hold hands doing it. But
we could, yeah. But it's from that album. And this song is called It Ain't Right, Lovin' to Be Lovin'.
But we were the other thing about it is we were kind of unfamiliar with their discography. So we're like, how many records did they have out? They had so many albums. They have, you know, sometimes, or I wasn't familiar with how much content they had. They were pretty prolific.
Groups put out, you know, it wouldn't be unusual to put out three albums in a year.
Yeah.
Albums in a year.
Yeah, no, it seemed like they were putting out, like, on average, two albums a year.
People these days are slackers.
Yeah, they are.
No kidding. Spoiled. An album every 2 years or three, that's just crazy.
That's why we got it. Well, there's, you know, some artists are doing kind of the mixtape, like the hip-hop artists, like they put out a mixtape.
Right.
Then they put out an album.
Sense.
It makes more sense.
And you do bands and TV shows and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, come on, people.
Yeah. Come on.
Go, come on.
Carrie and Fred can do it.
Everyone can.
Thanks for doing this.
We love you.
I do love you guys. All three of you.
We miss you a lot. And you, if she comes back on the show at any point, you're welcome to just stand behind her and talk into the same mic.
Oh, I'll take
anytime.
That opportunity.
Excellent.
You love to stand behind me and talk into the same mic.
Yes, I do.
That's kind of our thing.
That's how we got to where we are.
Fred and Carrie, thanks so much. Let's go out on Ike and Tina Turner.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.
For you,
for you.
No. don't know how I feel inside.